I don't have a penetrating voice. Can you hear me? Very well. Amen. I feel like a wind blew me and brought me here because I don't do any more conventions. I used to do conventions, but I just don't do them anymore. I feel there are other people to do them. And I surprised myself, really. I'm here and I just can't believe it because I said I'm not going to do any more conventions and I'm right here. But the Lord has His way, and carnally, it's better to say that I hope the last one that I can make. But whatever the Lord wants you, that's what you do. That's what counts. I'm glad to be here and worship the Lord. I just have 10 minutes, right? Okay? All right. 10 minutes. I just clock myself, make sure that a little boy won't do me like that back there. It says finish, you know, stop the sermon or something. But the Lord is doing great things, and I don't do as much as I used to. And first of all, I want to thank you for your prayers. And I was sick. I had a heart failure, and the Lord restored me. I didn't have to have any surgery. I didn't have to have anything. It's the Lord that has done it. That's all I say. Just a little part of it, after the doctor said that I must have a new heart transplant, we pray, and the brothers pray, and the Lord restored me. And after I was out of the hospital, my doctor tried to keep check on me to see what I'm doing. And I went over, took a blood test, and I went with my wife over for some shopping, and I called him. I said, did you have the results? Because normally he gets the results within 30 minutes in the building, and then he lets you know where you stand, and I take this general profile test, so many items, tells you what you are, what you're supposed to be, the scale there, and so on. So you know exactly on everything where you stand. And my platelets was very low. Platelets is the thing that's in your blood that stops bleeding. If you cut yourself, that's what makes you stop bleeding. And I was supposed to have the minimum of 120,000, I think, and had only 6,000. So the doctor said, I called him from the shopping center. He says, you go to the hospital right now. I said, what for? He says, you go to the hospital right now. I said, oh, not again, you know. So I went to the hospital. By that time, my doctor came over. He was with Mayo Clinic and some very outstanding man. And they worked different than the average doctor. He took two blood tests. He sent the one for the test, the regular people, and the other one, he went upstairs, checked with a microscope to make sure what's going on. He said to me, your platelets are very low. But the old ones look healthy, and it seems to me they are putting some little new ones. He says, just wait for a couple of days. He says, go home, don't shave, don't do anything. Because if you cut yourself, you'll be bleed to death. Just go and lay in bed. Don't move, don't do anything. So I went home, and I went back again in 2 days. He checked it again. I was very low again. So he said, just wait. He said, I'm saying, he said, that the 99% is medication. Somebody gave you the wrong medication. So 2 days later, I went there. It was Monday. And these are kind of professional people. They don't work, yes, you know, just tap you on the chest and say, go home, you know, that kind of thing. But when I walk in the door, he looked at me. He just shook my hand. He says, go home. He says, your platelets are about 130,000. You're well. He says, stop that medication because it affects your body. Don't do it. Sometimes we take things we don't know what we're taking, you know, and can make us more sick than we started. So the Lord really, really touched me, and I know it was the prayers of the people. I know that we live in the last hours, in the last minutes. And I don't know if anybody here subscribes to the National Geographic. It refers to the earthquakes, what happened in California, and shows there's a map there, probably about 2 feet or 3 feet long and about 2 feet wide, that shows you the ring of fire The ring of fire is where the earthquake travels. It starts from South America, goes through the coast of California, cuts Vancouver, goes to Japan, cuts Japan, comes to the east coast of Australia, comes down to New Zealand, and then cuts New Zealand in two. And it has become so tense now that the people, really, the scientists and the seismologists, are afraid what's going to happen. I went over to visit my sister in the east side of the Bay Area, and she picked me up at the airport. I wanted to talk to her about the Lord, and she said, well, I look ahead of me, and there was an overpass of six lanes that had collapsed. I said, what's that? She said, that's the earthquake did it, and we have to go through here now. So I was right in the middle of it, and I look at it, it's nothing in comparison to what's going to happen. It is nothing. I remember the time that Brother Branham was in Los Angeles. You see, the people think there were super-duper things going on there. The miracles were there, but the people that today claim all these things, they were not there at all. I didn't see them. I was in every meeting. And I remember the time that Brother Branham was preaching Choosing of a Bride. You remember that sermon? Choosing of a Bride. And he was sitting at the platform, and then he took over the podium, and Dimo Shikarian was there, and next to him was a priest with his collar turned around. Brother Bram's up preaching, and that man was upset, and Dimos tried to hold him down, and it was going on where about 300 people, and that's the time he says, Los Angeles, thou city of the angels, he says, and calls Capernaum, you're going to sink. And at that time, if you go back to the records, there's no signs that there was no sign for disaster in Los Angeles. Now they find the biggest faults underneath downtown L.A. My father used to work for the bank there. The faults is right downtown L.A., and the people quit working there, and they can't find people to go to work now in there. And if you drive in California, I have to go because they publish our books there. The people will stop in an overpass. They will not stay under. And then when they are traffic, clear the traffic, then they will go through. But they will not stay under because they are scared to death. I mean, that will not help, right? No matter what you're going to do, when this happens, it's going to happen. And the Lord knows it. The prophecy was given. And that's what's going to take place. By the time the prophecy was given, people didn't pay too much attention. I remember after that, Brother Branham says, what would you do if you live in Southern California? Brother Branham didn't want to say anything. Then eventually he said, if I was like you guys, he said, I wouldn't stay here. And that was enough for me to get out. I live in Southern Cal. I was going to Southern Cal, the university. And I bailed out of there. I went out of there. I went to Phoenix. But at that time, there was a warmth of the spirit because we didn't fight with courts. We wanted Jesus. And we were praying for the lost. It wasn't, I got a court, you got a court. No, these kind of things. We hear the messages, and we're going and crying, weeping. I remember at Clifton's cafeteria, people think Clifton was a big thing. No, it was about 25 of us were. Dimor Sikarian, Minor Argonbright, Danny Henry, a businessman, Paul Henry, his brother, an attorney, myself, Elvira Johnson, just 25 people. And Brother Branham came over, and as he was preaching, Danny started prophesying. You remember the prophecy? Because thou hast taken the hard and the narrow way, a big portion of heaven is reserved for you, or something like that. You remember the prophecy about Brother Branham? And Danny prophesied that time. Normally, we get together, us, and have breakfast in the morning, and then go to the meeting upstairs. And I looked behind me, and it was Victor Ladue with his wife. They live in Beverly Hills, and she was wearing a black dress, and she looked at her husband. He looked at her, and she pulled a pad out and started writing down what was the interpretation. It was in French, and it was interpreted by the Ladues there, and who had the interpretation right at that moment, what the prophecy said. But there were not too many people, about 25 of us. That's what it was. In other meetings, there were 4,000 or 5,000 people. But always we look ourselves. You'd be surprised. before we get to the meeting, we used to go to, I went many times to the men's restroom and stay there. I said, Lord, is there anything between me and you? Today, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Because conviction is not there and repentance is gone. The substitution of accept instead of repent has killed many people. You think what I'm saying? Accept instead of repent. Without repentance of the cross of Calvary, you go nowhere but to hell. I don't care who the person is. And we have loved ones need to be saved. I don't know your condition. You don't know mine. But probably all of us who need the Lord. That's the bottom line. You see, you and I can deceive ourselves. And don't look around you to say who is the deceiver, who is not. The greatest deceiver you ever have is your own heart. The scripture says so, and you have to accept it. You think you're all right, but let God reveal who you are and standing the day of judgment, then you see how much you're running and crying to say, I repent and I run before God. Most of our work, my 5 minutes are up, my 10 minutes, most of our work now it's done in Eastern Europe. Brother Joseph Branham is doing tremendous work there translating. And our goal the last 5 years is to take the English written books in full libraries to individuals that speak English. Because we don't know how long the door is going to be open. We don't know what's going to happen with President Yeltsin next year. He has only 8% of the vote in the people and 8% in the Congress. So we don't see any change. But we have a brother in our church that's a CPA, CPA certified public account. He finished his degree at the university that I was teaching in Tampa. And then the Lord saved him tremendously, dedicated to God completely. He's a state auditor, reports to the legislation, not the governor, because he audits the governor. And his work sometimes is so extensive at night or something, and he accumulates hours and goes twice a year over to the Eastern Europe area with his own expense. And goes to Poland, Ukraine, Russia, Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia, all over the place. And checks what's going on, accumulates the list who speaks English, what's the status, comes back, then we ship the books to them. Because we want the books to be in there, although they're not translated yet. That's very important, right? Because these people can deal and spread the message around. They can study in English, you know, and they'll have the fullness of the message. We send them from 60 to 65. With the exception of the last volume that's not printed yet. So the work is doing excellent there, and I'm praying so the Lord will just help the people there to move on with the Lord. I can tell you great things that's happening, but my time is up. The little boy did like that to me, cut it out. So, but the Lord is good to us. I mean, twice a year, Now I have more invitations than ever before, and I do the least outside. I got two meetings. One of it is the young people in Dayton, Ohio. There's about 450 young kids there, and I have the morning service. I like to deal with the young people. They have a quick mind. They're not stagnated. You can deal with them. They'll challenge you. They'll question you, but you need it, you know. You got to sharpen yourself. And I do their meetings there in June. And then November, we have a Bible conference. And the Bible conference is Bible teaching. And we get together in the hotel, the Ramada Inn in Gatlinburg. And it's a non-minister, so I don't want any preachers there. I'm sorry, I don't. I just, let's study the scriptures. That's what I care. And we take a subject. I don't know how many have seen the Baptism of the Holy Spirit book that we put out. That was probably 400-page material, and I finish the work, I publish it, then we send them 2 months before they come so they can study, they have their questions, we study together, we go back and forth, have 2 sessions a day, and the Lord is blessing tremendously. We have only 60 people in there to admit. because you don't want to become big, because the work is deteriorating. You want to do quality work. 60 people. We close it the first part of June for November. And the Lord is really blessing us there. To me, when I see, especially these younger people, that's over 20, we don't take anybody under 18, no responsibilities like that. 20 and up. We used to be 20 to 35. Now they open it a little more, but still no ministers. But what you see there, what I notice among them, there's a hunger among them. And your question, is this the new generation parallel to Israel? There's a hunger among them. They're in the service. They get together an hour before to pray. All of them are there. I try to count them. Every one of them is there an hour before. They pray, then I give them some reading materials. Then for the service, they stay there and pray for a while. Then they meet together in a coffee shop. And it's good to see people exchanging what they study. I like that. And they meet each other. I know couples got married there by meeting one another. I mean, that's up to them, right? I have nothing against that. Let them get married. You see, I have nothing against it. That's ordained by the Lord. You cannot say, you know, don't get married to anybody. But it's such a refreshing to see these young minds with their Bibles going to the coffee shop and opening and saying, but what about this, what about that? And they meet each other, then they take a vacation in another state, and they go there and stay in their homes. You see, and that becomes like a fellowship, true fellowship. Fellowship is not a coffee shop bargaining. Fellowship is around the Word of God. The rest of it disappears. It's belly operation, you know. We're talking about the Scriptures. And I'm thankful to the Lord to be here. Sorry to take so much time. I don't say too much. Normally my services last 45 minutes because I don't have too much to say. But I know if we all of us look to the Lord, just Him. If you don't know Him, young person, don't worry. I'll make a fanatic statement before I close. You might be a sinner. Young man, young lady, I don't know who you are. It's easier for you to get saved than a religious person of the message. You study what I say. Because they think they got it. But they have accepted. They have never been to Calvary. And it's easier. That's why I hope and that I'm not a person to push altar calls. I don't do that. I believe the Word in your heart. And what happens when the Lord deals with you, just don't throw it out. Don't let the devil take it and take it away from you. Just study it. You know, I don't care who you are. You can be 20 years in the message. Can I make a testimony? I can't get it out of my mind. I was at the youth camp. And I think I was teaming together with Billy Andrews. And I said, Billy, you take the night service, I'll take the day service. So Billy didn't know what to do. He said to me, now, David, I don't feel good, my throat. I said, no matter what you're going to do, your throat is like that all the time. You scream. And I said, Billy, we don't measure the Holy Spirit by foaming around your mouth. We measure it by the heart, you know. And I love Billy, but I work with Billy. So at that service, he said to me, I cannot take it. So I said, okay, I'll take it, and you do the altar call if we need one. So at the service, I was ministering there, and I saw these young people. Now, they pushed us away from that camp, and we went to a big tent, a huge tent. And when we were there, I started ministering, and all of a sudden, 15 minutes later, One of the young men come over and kneels down and start crying. The next one. By the time I had nobody to preach down there and everybody was here. Now this went on until 1 o'clock in the morning, and Billy and Ike, he said to me, I've never seen this in my life at any place. So we're sitting there as Billy says, David, what's going on? I don't understand it. He says, it's just exactly like somewhere overseas in Africa, a little light in the middle of the tent, and these kids crying. But I noticed something. I see the people praying, and I'm not the type of a person to go and lay hands right away. I don't believe in that. The scripture says, don't be quick in laying hands. You got to be careful. That spirit can come right upon you without even knowing it. So I went to pray, and I saw a young lady, about 24 years old, nice-looking young lady, with her, remember, that's grass and dirt at the bottom. It's a tent now. Her face was flat against the dirt. And was weeping and crying. I waited there till 2 o'clock in the morning. Finally, she gets up. Have you ever seen any pictures of the miners, the black smoke eyes around them in their face, and the eyes are clean up? She was full of mud from her tears. And the only thing you can see is just the eyes going like that. So I looked at her. I said, I don't understand it. She got something. Next day, I had the morning service again. Billy wasn't feeling good. She came to me, God bless you, Brother David. I said, God bless you. You know, you said, God, keep on going conversation without knowing who is the person, you know. So many people shake your hands. You don't know who they are. You said, just God bless you. Carry on until you find out. You might know them. And so she says, I was in the message 25 years, and I got saved last night. You might not know what I'm talking about, but you better wake up. So I got saved. And I looked, her face was beaming and glory, the glory of God there. She came with her Bible right in the front seat. I said, just be patient. Don't start another revival tonight. Let's go as I'm teaching right now. Stop it, lady. You know, enough is enough. But I was thankful to the Lord. So the Lord permitted me to see that. It was real. It was the daughter of one of the well-known men. I got saved. Heard the tapes. Played the tapes. The doctrine. The letter of the tape. The carnal sight. Splicing quotes. Making a mess. But she found Jesus. That's what I care for. Somebody to find Christ. And if you found him, he will lead you to all truth. Singular tense. No truths. We've got many truths. But it takes the Holy Ghost to lead you to the truth. One truth. Singular tense. Amen? Amen. The Lord bless you. Sorry for the overtime. Amen.